Welcome back to the show that we will continue to remain nameless. I like it. I think that's what we should call the show, Diesel. Every host who come up here and host it, this is the nameless show going forward until the guy, you know, or gal gets the spot, whoever that is. Good luck. I wanted to get into some NFL rumors, but quickly, the poll that we was talking about before we went to break. Can you update the listeners on what's going on?
The question at ESPN Upstate on Twitter, put your GM hat on after Antonio Brown turned himself in for assaulting a mover, given his undeniable talent. Do you, here's your two choices, give him another shot or nah, he's done for good. 44 votes, 100% say nah, he's done.
100%.
Not one of you willing to give Antonio Brown a shot. I don't blame you. You're all right.
Yeah, one of you guys have to be the Patriots. I mean, come on. I'm sure there's somebody out there.
Well, if the Patriots were willing to give him a shot and he said no, then who would actually give him a shot?
I can't think of one team.
I mean,
Cleveland.
Oh God.
That would be talk
about having Antonio Brown and Odell Beckham.
Oh, get Hard Knocks out there immediately.
On the same team.
Get them out there immediately. I would pay to watch that. I would pay to watch. I don't even need Hard Knocks. I would pay to go to the game and watch that. Odell Beckham and Antonio Brown. Mixing a little bit of Baker in there. Oh, that's
with half a quarterback? Yeah. Come on now. You still don't have a quarterback to throw it to him.
Perfect recipe for a disaster. But I've
found now those two with Joe Burrow? Come on.
Oh, I like Joe.
They're not
going
to get
cool
Joe Burrow,
guy.
But you know what I'm saying.
He's such a cool guy. I just hate that he's going to Cincinnati. Prayers out to you, Joe. Maybe not listed, but you're going to need it over
Please
there.
Please hope that Cincinnati is willing to leverage that and trade out of the number one spot. That's all you want.
Hey, that was one of the rumors, especially with the Panthers, now that they have the OC from from LSU going over to the Panthers with Carolina trade up, and what would it take to acquire Joe Burrow? I don't think that's happening. Cincinnati has already pretty much shot that down. So there's no way that they're trading the number one overall pick. It's going to be Joe Burrow, point blank, period. But, man, I came across a story, Diesel, about Aaron Rodgers. There's no secret that he's not the most likable person in the world. Seems like a good guy, but his family doesn't think so. Him and his family are not the closest. And I get that, especially, you know, dealing with certain people in my family. I can understand. I see what he's coming from on that. But they seem to grow a little further apart after Rodgers went on a podcast with his wife or girlfriend, Danica Patrick. And he talked about his struggle to believe in the higher power. Well, his family thought that was extremely disrespectful. And now there seem to be distance just from those quotes. As just a family member in general, if you have a family member who feels like a certain way about religion and they express that, would you cut that family member off?
Yeah.
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 Just can't be around them.
Yeah.
Any explanation?
I mean, I choose not to be around negative people.
I like that.
I choose not to surround myself with those kind of people because I don't want to become one of those people, and I don't want to let them drag me down to that level.
Yeah, and, you know, we're not going to dive into any type of religions because this is a sports radio show. But I can see where they're coming from on that. But he's never, as I mentioned before, Rodgers has never had the closest relationship, even with his mother. They're just kind of being disdained, and that kind of goes to play into you have a lot of people who play with Aaron Rodgers just saying that he's not the most friendliest guy to get along with. As an organization, especially a quarterback and his receiver, do you think they should be on the same page? Or does it matter to not be on the same page off the field as long as they're on the same page on the field?
I think it creates issues if you're not on the same page off the field. I mean, I'm not saying you have to be best friends.
Right.
But you should at least, you know, you should have a positive relationship with them, because if you don't, it's going to manifest somehow.
Absolutely.
Don't know how, don't know where. It's going to either manifest on the practice field. And if it manifests on the practice field, then it's definitely going to manifest on the game field.
Yeah, that's just something to look into. And I know they ask a lot of people questions like that, especially in the combine, just to see where your mind is going to be. I'm going to ask Troy about that coming up in a few moments. Cam Newton trade. it's almost like the Carolina Panthers are kind of connecting the dots that they're going to be going into this rebuild. Now, of course, they're going to need an inside linebacker with the retirement of Luke Kuechly. But if you get rid of Cam right now, you get to free up cap room. And that's exactly how you can start a rebuild. You're going to need draft picks. You're going to need cap room. I don't see why they would keep him around for another season, knowing that they're going into this rebuild. So I'm curious to know what exactly can you get for Cam Newton at this particular time. I don't know.
Not much.
Yeah. That's the thing. He's coming off injury. He has 1 year left on his contract.
Yeah.
So do you think the Carolina Panthers will be able to trade him? And if so, what does the market look like?
Well, Carolina's only hope is to get Cam as close to 100% as possible before they have to start shopping him around. They're not going to keep Cam Newton past this year. So the best thing they can do is put as much lipstick on that pig as they can and make him look marketable, make him look sellable, make other teams believe that he still has some value left in him and just hope that you can get something decent out of it.
Yeah, I don't see teams offering no more than maybe at the most a third-round pick, at the highest. I don't see them getting a first or a second for Cam Newton, especially coming off that injury. But this is going to be now a very, very young team. And when you're going into that youth movement, you kind of want your leadership to be around that same age realm. Cam is not really an quote-unquote old quarterback, but he is getting a little bit up there in age as far as football.
Sure he is.
So I do believe that the Carolina Panthers, despite what you might be hearing coming out of the organization, will be looking to move on from Cam Newton this offseason. And it's going to be, I don't know if they're going to go into tank mode, you know, tank for Trevor, lose for Lawrence. But I think that is a strong possibility, and you do hear a lot of Carolina and Clemson fans will love to see that matchup, Trevor Lawrence going to the Carolina Panthers.
Oh, of course they would. And it's funny, Diddy had a fantastic idea for how to fix the whole concept of tanking in the NFL, is reorder the draft so that the first team out of the playoffs gets the first draft pick.
Ooh.
Meaning you're probably one piece away from taking that next step and being a playoff team. So you would draft essentially 9 through 32, 1 through 8 in the first round.
I like it.
So, it incentivizes you to win. Even if you're not going to make the playoffs, it incentivizes you to win to be as close as possible to improve your draft stock. The better you are, the better your draft stock. Instead of the worse you are, the better your draft stock.
That's actually kind of genius.
It's a fantastic idea.
Yeah, he should send it up to Roger.
Yeah.
But that will essentially eliminate tanking.
Yeah.
He probably needs to come up with something like that in the NBA because they are notorious.
And once you get into the second round, it's a free for all. I mean, that would be the starting structure. If teams want to trade around from there, that's whatever. But that would be the starting structure. And how many teams would want to trade out of that number one spot or the top five spot if you know that you're one or two pieces away? They're not gonna trade out of that spot.
No, they're gonna keep it to make sure they get that playoff push that they need.
Sure,
man. Carolina though. Even if they were to get rid of Cam Newton, are they going to go with Kyle Allen or will they draft a quarterback? They are, I believe they have a top 10 pick coming up this year. With the retirement of Luke Kuechly, I don't know if Carolina will look to spend a first or even a second round pick on a quarterback. They may rock it out with Kyle Allen this year, try to improve the defensive line, draft another middle linebacker. They also need help pretty much in the secondary. There's a lot of holes that they need to fill in, so I'm curious to see where they're going to go with this.
Carolina Panthers have the number 7 pick.
7 pick, okay.
Yeah. So 1 through 5, Cincinnati, Washington, Detroit, New York Giants, Miami Dolphins. 6 through 10, Chargers, Panthers, Cardinals, Jaguars, Browns.
Yeah, I would love to see them pick up Kinlaw from South Carolina.
How are the Browns still 6-10 when they get top 5 picks or top 10 picks every year?
They had a lot of trades. A whole lot of trades.
Crappy organization, that's what it is.
And they did not improve whatsoever. They picked up the offensive coordinator from the Minnesota Vikings, and they had one of the worst offenses in the league, especially in the playoffs. But that's the Browns being the Browns. Some organizations, I'm a firm believer, will always suck, and they are one of them.
You've seen the movie Caddyshack, right? The fantastic golf documentary, yeah. Caddyshack. To quote Judge Smales, The world needs ditch diggers too. And that's what the Cleveland Browns are. The Cleveland Browns are the ditch diggers of the NFL. You got to have somebody that stinks if you got somebody that's great.
Yeah,
not everybody can go, you know, can go 8-8.
And I'm sorry, Brown fans. I know you guys were very optimistic. And I was trying to tell everybody, look, this is the Browns. They're going to continue to be the Browns.
You don't have to apologize to Brown fans. They do this to themselves. They know it's not going to improve much, but at least you can go root for the Bengals.
Yeah, they're going to be just as bad. That's probably the second worst organization. They're both in the same state, which is.
Yeah, but at least you don't have to go to games in Cleveland. Cincinnati's nice.
Cincinnati is nice.
But right there on the water. It's a beautiful stadium.
They're known as the cheapest organization in sports. So that the practice facility where they go for training camp is under a bridge, like literally under a bridge. That's where they perform training camp at. So Ohio guy, man, you had the Cavs. At least you had the Cavaliers. Now they suck.
If I lived in Cincinnati, I'd live in Kentucky and drive across the border. Because that Kentucky side of the border is gorgeous. Gorgeous. You get into Ohio, it sucks.
Man.
State bird is an orange traffic cone. Because they're everywhere. Construction barrels everywhere. Every single time I've ever been to Ohio, that road, that state is constantly under construction.
That's sad, guys. That's really. And, I mean, to transition into a next quarterback, Tom Brady. I'm curious to see what New England is going to do in this situation. I think, honestly, from my standpoint, it's time to move on. It's time to let it go. The system that they have in place, people are saying that the dynasty is over because, you know, Brady is. I don't think it's over. As long as Bill Belichick is there, and that defense was lights out this season. It's just, if you look at the games, they just didn't have a pretty good quarterback. Not taken away from nothing that Tom Brady did this year or in his career. This year, you saw a regression. Yes, he didn't have a tight end at all. Losing Gronk, that was handicapping pretty much the entire offense. He didn't have any receivers who could separate either. But there was a lot of throws that was coming up short and a lot of throws where you can see Brady's age. So I do think that the Patriots will attempt to move on from Tom Brady. I just don't think Robert Kraft we'll move on from Tom Brady.
Yeah, I don't. Who's needier of their guys? Is it Robert Kraft or Jerry Jones? I mean, Jerry Jones is much more vocal about it.
Yeah, nice Jerry. Yeah, Jerry's the worst, man.
Jerry's so weird with his guys.
Yeah, and I'm a Cowboy fan.
Like he can't see that it's time to move on. Even the way they worded the announcement that they were getting rid of Jason Garrett.
That was the weirdest
story. It sounded
story.
Like. It's not me, it's you. I don't want to do this, but I have to do this. It was so creepy.
Yeah, it was. He did not want to let him go. He looked at Jason Garrett as one of his sons, clearly, and they wanted to not announce it as a firing, but they wanted to announce it as, oh, well, his contract just expired. Jason Garrett should have been fired 8 years ago, period. Not this season. It should have been 8 seasons ago. He's not a good head coach. He's a decent offensive coordinator. Good luck, New York Giants. I can't wait to see you guys lose over there with Jason Garrett now. It's going to be hilarious. But just going back to New England, I don't think Robert Kraft is ready to let Tom Brady go, but I do think Bill Belichick is ready to move on, and he has to be kicking himself right now, watching the quarterback that he had who he was grooming in Jimmy Garoppolo now is in the Super Bowl. That was his guy that was going to be Brady's replacement. Now he's in the Super Bowl because Robert Kraft was not ready to let go of Tom Brady. There's going to be an
I mean, understandably so.
I can understand.
You know, you don't just trade off Tom Brady when he's still winning you games.
He did win the Super Bowl, so and despite all of that. But now you're in a situation where you have an aging QB. You had a younger quarterback who could have stepped right in and pretty much you guys wouldn't have missed a beat.
And now you're in serious trouble.
Now
because you don't have a quarterback.
Exactly. And Tom Brady is adamant about playing another maybe 2 to 3 seasons. Oof. And it seems from what I'm reading.
45-year-old Tom Brady?
Yeah. God. From what I'm reading,
who knows?
He
might surprise us.
He wants a max contract as well. Doesn't want to take any discounts. So we're going to see how this play out. And if he leaves, what team will he go to? You have the San Diego Chargers out there. I think they're going to move on for Phillip Rivers. He's already talking about he sold his house and he's moved out of San Diego. So that's an open spot. Tampa, they said they're going to bring back Jameis Winston. Do they take a look at Tom Brady? Carolina Panthers, do they take a shot in the dark? Maybe sign him for a season.
Worth a shot. You sell some tickets.
You definitely would. I know Tampa likes money. What can you
And he's willing to spend it.
Yes, which I do like. That is complete opposite of Jerry Richardson. So we're going to see, man. I kind of want to see him go. I just don't think that he would do so. But coming up next is what I've been talking about the whole time. We're going to be speaking with Troy Pride Jr. of the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, talking about the Senior Bowl and his upcoming path to the draft. Coming up next here on ESPN Upstate. Welcome back to ESPN Upstate. Make sure you get in on the phone lines, which is 844-477-3776. So you can text us at 71307, starting with ESPN. Oh, man. We're definitely going to be talking about that skill challenge a little later. But coming up, it's what I've been pushing pretty much the whole show. I got a special treat for you guys. We're going to be talking with Troy Pride Jr., Greer superstar, Notre Dame superstar, and now is in the Senior Bowl and also getting ready for the NFL draft. Troy, thank you for coming on today.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate the notoriety that you introduced me with, and I hope to stay on that superstar status.
Yeah. No, we have a lot of faith in you. I'm sure your mom and dad is. Tell you, I've been kind of following you pretty much your whole career. I think you're doing an amazing job. You're also an amazing person. I want to kick things off, man. Going back to school, you were in a horrible car accident and actually walked away with no scratches. Can you explain how that day really kind of changed your life?
Well, you kind of mentioned the horrible, horrific scene. And, you just kind of have a new appreciation for, the blessings that you have each and every day. I definitely didn't, understand the severity of it, the situation. But, kind of looking back, seeing it, it just was a blessing to be here. It's a blessing each and every day to, wake up. And you should cherish that. You should cherish the time of traveling this earth because it can be taken away in an instant. And, I'm going into my senior year hoping to accomplish all this at the third, but it could all be taken away, and I'll never take that for granted.
Absolutely. And as I mentioned before, you are a local product out of Greer. What made you, what attracted you to Notre Dame other than the local schools such as a Clemson or South Carolina?
Well, during my recruitment, South Carolina was going through a head coaching change, Steve Spurrier leaving. But Clemson just didn't recruit me as heavily. They had some other interests in other places. I don't blame them. It's what they decided to do. But Notre Dame was genuine. They were true from the beginning. When I got my first offer in May, when I visited in October, it was the real deal. And I knew that's a place where I could grow as an athlete and as a person. And I did that.
Well, talk about a golden parachute. If you can not get recruited by Clemson, but you get to go to Notre Dame, I mean, that's a pretty good place to go.
Absolutely. Blessed to be there, blessed to get my degree from there this December, or actually this past December, and, now just rocking the Golden Dome in the Senior Bowl.
Yeah, absolutely. And speaking of the Senior Bowl, which is where you're going to be participating in this upcoming weekend, what are you trying to accomplish at that game to get the scouts' attention?
Just competition once again against the South receivers. I've gone against my own team's receiver this entire week. Wins and losses, happen each and every day. So, that competition is the real deal, and that's what scouts want to see. So, once again, seeing some other talent, some other good receivers, some other different skill sets, and competing. That's what I want to do.
And once again, we're speaking with Troy Pride Jr., starting defensive back of the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. I saw you recently signed with an agency, and I know that your parents are real big on agents. What type of impact did they have in helping you select the agent?
They did a lot of the groundwork, the information that I needed to know, the numbers, the doing background stuff, just being my support system. With that, you know, they developed a relationship. A lot of the time I was playing football, a lot of times I was working out, so I didn't really have time to text back agents every 5 minutes. But no, they did that. They called them. They, you know, figured out who was who and who's real and who's not.
Absolutely. And now after the Senior Bowl, I assume you're going to be now getting ready for the NFL draft. Have you already been told, or maybe were you projected to go in the draft?
No. I think I was more of an unknown prospect coming in. Attempted to make a name for myself this week. And just going to continue to grind until, you know, I am a household name and I am a guy that's, you know, widely regarded. You know, that just keeps a chip on my shoulder. So, not really knowing where I'm going to go is the best part because, you know, I can compete to wherever I want to go.
Yeah, now, I know you're definitely getting some attention down there because Pro Football Focus came out and said out of all the defensive backs, you are looking at pretty much the best of the crop right now. So congratulations on that. But as far as 40 time, I know that's extremely important in the draft combine. What time are you looking to shoot at?
My track background, you know, running track since I was about 7 years old as well has helped me be prepared to run against laser, to run, you know, against pressure cooker situations. So, I'm always going to shoot for the stars. My goal is a 4.2. That's what I want to run. That's what I'm capable of running. That's where I see my skill set taking me. So, that's the plan.
And not just you. I know your brother plays for A&T, and your sister is actually a singer. So I know the Pride household is extremely competitive. What is it like on a family night out? Do you guys are you always competing over everything, or is it real chill?
Man, it's competition to the utmost. I will absolutely describe myself as the best bowler in the family. So whenever we go bowling, I usually am the one to come on top. And that's father, that's brother, that's mother, that's sister. Anybody that wants to smoke in the family can get it, and they've all gotten it. So, you know, I'm a winner, and that's what I do.
Who's this in the background going, whatever?
That's my dad. He lost.
Now, speaking of your dad, man, Senior, I know he's a big-time Dallas Cowboy fan. Your mom is as well. Ironically, it seems like the Dallas Cowboys are in the market for a defensive back. What would it mean if you winded up on the Dallas Cowboys for the Pride House?
Well, I mean, that's a dream come true probably for a lot of people in the Pride House. Obviously, I grew up, you know, liking the Cowboys, following the Cowboys. So I think that would mean the world to a lot of people. But, you know, like I said, regardless of, you know, whatever situation I'm put in, I think I'm going to be able to excel and shine. So wherever I go is going to be a blessing, and I'm going to cherish it. But, yeah, Dallas will probably mean just a tad bit more.
Yeah, it would be kind of awesome. Do you have a preferred destination?
I don't. I've been in cold weather. I've been in the South. I've done it all. So there's nowhere that I wouldn't fit in.
I got you. Now, I don't know if they have prepped you anything for the Wonderlic test, but have you been told by your agent or anyone else that have been through the draft process what to expect during the Wonderlic?
Yeah, there's different testing points. There's different things to do. Obviously, it's just a test of intelligence. It's a problem-solving dilemma that you have, and do it as quick as you can and you get the best score that you can. I'll be taking that and we'll see how that goes as well.
Yeah, and just one last question. By knowing your parents personally, I see how heavily they are involved in everything. Can you just talk about pretty much how important they are to you, not just as a student athlete, but of course as your parents in general?
I mean, They're great role models, elders in our church. They are very, you know, impactful in these now every one of our lives, and that's been a blessing to have a two-parent household that is structured and as supporting as we've had each and every one of my siblings. They play an important role. They take the backseat to a lot of things they maybe want to do for, you know, their four and five children. So I think that's an important aspect of you know, who they are and what they want to, you know, what they want us to accomplish, and want us to be better than what they were, who they were.
Absolutely. Well, Charlie, man, I know you're extremely busy getting ready for the Senior Bowl. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day, and good luck.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you. That was Troy Pride Sr., formerly starting quarterback. Junior. Senior was the one in the background.
Junior. Whatever.
Yeah, now, I'm telling you, that family is competitive. And, I mean, they're good at everything.
Are you a good bowler?
No.
No?
Not really. I don't bowl that much.
Do you have any idea, like, what your high score is?
I have no clue.
Okay.
Yeah, I like to bowl, though.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't call myself a good bowler.
See, if you're gonna be a good bowler, you got to go get good shoes. You got to get a good ball. You got to get it tuned in just for you. You can't go out there and bowl like a 200 with lane balls.
Yeah,
can't do it.
I have extremely small hands.
So do I.
Oh, well, welcome
to the
club.
We're going
to
test this out in the break. It's fantastic radio.
Yeah, we're in the small hand club. So, you know, I have to roll the smaller balls anyway. I rather preferably have the heavier balls, but I have baby hands. I was cursed. So is my daughter, but she's a girl. That's another story for another day. But, yeah, man, so bowling's never been – I like it. But I wouldn't call myself a bowler at all.
I'm pretty sure Troy could probably beat us together, combined scores.
I'm pretty sure he could. But, I mean, he has a brother at AT&T. He's an excellent track star. Sister is a singer. His mom and dad does a lot with, like, agents and getting
– talent all over that family.
The whole house, man, super talented. The Prides. If you guys definitely follow him. You can follow him on Twitter, at TroyPride18. We need to talk about this. These Pro Bowl changes. I thought it was a really good idea that you mentioned earlier. Pro Bowl is pretty much, let's face it, it's boring. Nobody
it's
watches
trash.
Pro
no
Bowl.
One watches.
Yeah, it's pretty trash right now. But these skill competitions that they have going on, I like it. I watched it last night. They had where the defensive backs would be standing in front of the net, and the quarterback would try to throw it in these circles without them intercepting the ball. They have a dodgeball competition. Of course, they have the accuracy competition where quarterbacks are throwing, trying to hit moving targets. I think they should just eliminate the game in general, expand this, and put it on primetime. But coming up, I have a special surprise for you guys at 2 o'clock, especially Clemson fans, so make sure you tune in. This is Tyler with ESPN Upstate. Welcome back to the show that shall remain nameless. But, hey, Deezer, we got a texter that came in and said it has a suggestion for the name of the show.
Call it
Keeping Up with, I guess, whoever has the show.
Keeping Up with Tyler Butler.
I like it. Yeah, I can do that. Keeping Up. That works for me. I think my podcast name wouldn't be fit for radio. Even though it's a play on name, so it's not really what you think it is. But I don't know if the FCC.
The BS podcast, you got this.
Yeah, I like how that sounds. BS radio.
I mean, that's what we do here, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
That's what we do here.
But we also have a call on the line, Rodriguez, and he wants to talk about the Carolina Panthers wide receivers. Rodriguez, what's going on? How you doing? Welcome to the show.
What's going on, man?
How you doing, brother?
I'm good. I'm good.
What you want to talk about today?
Man, I want to talk about the Carolina Panthers and the wide receiver issue, man. The reason why I say that is because in the NFC South, you got multiple teams such as the Atlanta Falcons and the New Orleans Saints that has good wide receiver play along with quarterback. Mm-hmm. So I was thinking maybe, you know, with the wide receivers that are coming out of that are in the draft or that has declared for the draft, wouldn't it be of good importance that the Carolina Panthers pick them up? I know in the later rounds there'll probably be some decent wide receivers there, but should they look at probably drafting a wide receiver in the first round?
Okay. Thank you for your call. I appreciate that, Rodriguez. So that's a good question. Should the Carolina Panthers look after a wide receiver in the first round? It depends on the philosophy of the general manager. Usually with those high picks, you're not going to go for a wide receiver unless he's pretty much,
unless he's
Calvin Johnson. Yeah. So they're probably going to be looking at O-line, D-line, because that's where you want to build up. You're going to have now, with Cam Newton moving on, you're going to be either drafting a quarterback or signing a younger quarterback, probably drafting one next year. So you're going to – I would see them going O-line with that pick, maybe a tackle or a guard, if one is available. What do you think they should go with probably number 70s?
Oh, God, they need to go – you need to get yourself a good quarterback before you start building wide receivers around them. I'm not saying that they need to go quarterback this year. I'm just saying, generally speaking, you got to have that quarterback in place, because look at Tom Brady. Tom Brady never had anyone around him. He had trash wide – for most of his career, he did not have any star wide receivers. But he's good enough that he makes other guys better. He elevated his wide receivers to elite status. They were all decent. He made them great.
Exactly.
Because you had a great quarterback. But if you have a terrible quarterback, I don't care how good your wide receivers are. They're not getting the ball.
Exactly.
You're going to throw a lot of picks. So you better have that quarterback in place before you start building receivers around him.
And that's why I think they don't go wide receiver, because they don't really know who their quarterback is going to be
right now.
Once they make that decision, then you'll start seeing them start implementing weapons to go around that quarterback.
Well, you're going to have a major shift in offensive philosophy. Under Cam Newton, it's been a lot of run-heavy offense, and let Cam do what he does on his feet.
Yeah.
Because Cam is not an elite passer. And with Cam moving on, eventually, this year, next year, 2 years down the road, whatever it's going to be, they're going to have a major shift in philosophy.
And if they're going to be running the offense that LSU was running, you're going to see a very pro-style type offense, and also what they was running down there with the Saints. I don't think Cam is built for that type of offense. I don't think Kyle Allen is either. So you're maybe going to wait to draft a wide receiver that high and probably go with a tackle, or maybe look for a middle linebacker, someone to replace Kuechly. He will probably be available right there at number 7 pick. We'll see if they don't trade it. Like I say, they are in a rebuild. Brand new ownership. He may trade that pick down and maybe get more picks. And then you may have a later first round pick where you'll draft a wide receiver. Then I just don't see him going that high with the number 7 pick.
Well, you can go out and get yourself some elite line talent at the number 7 pick.
Most certainly can.
Because no one, you're right, no one's going to draft line talent that high.
Yeah, you probably can get the best tackle in the game coming out. You know, the first 4 or 5 picks is either going to be it's going to be on the defensive end, or it's going to be quarterback. So that next tier to go, usually between 6 and 10, is going to be elite offensive line talent. You're going to be getting a younger quarterback coming in. You're going to make sure he needs to be protected first. As anybody will tell you, and we have LeVon coming up shortly, I'm sure they'll tell you games are won in the trenches. So you start with your O-line and your D-line first, get you an elite quarterback. Then you build weapons around him. I think that's the route that Tepper is going to go. He seems to like this younger team idea. So that's why I'm in the belief that they're looking to draft a quarterback next season. If one doesn't fall to him then, let's say at the number 7 pick, Tua is right there in their lap, even though he's coming off of surgery, just like Cam. Do you take the chance and draft Tua?
That's a scary proposition.
Yeah.
I don't like the thought of drafting Tua. He may be fine, but you have to have evidence of that first. Right now, we're talking potential for a full recovery.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know. Same as Cam. So I don't. It's too risky. It's too risky to take Tua. I mean, who knows? Maybe he is going to be fine. Maybe he's going to go on and have a long, illustrious career in the NFL. But I wouldn't be the team willing to give him a shot.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be the team willing to place all my eggs in the Tua Tagovailoa basket.
I do believe, though, if he's available when the Miami Dolphins are drafting, they're drafting Tua. They've been head over heels since pretty much last season. He's been penciled in to go to Miami. They thought that the Dolphins would have a higher pick, but Miami started winning all of a sudden. But coming up after the break, in a few minutes at 2 o'clock, we're going to be speaking with the South Carolina Football Hall of Famer, Mike Foster, and special guest, LaVon Kirkland. Coming up right here with Tyler Butler on ESPN Upstate. Welcome back to ESPN Upstate. Hope you guys are doing well on this Friday. It is ugly outside, Diesel. Man, it's raining, it's cold. As people will say, that's football weather, which I would never understand.
No.
Did you get that, though?
That's about as ugly as Antonio Brown's career prospects right now.
Oh, man.
Dude, how are you going to assault a moving guy?
Seriously, man.
How dumb can you be?
He didn't want to pay him. The guy wanted his money, tried to take his stuff back, so Antonio Brown thought it would be genius to just beat him up. Him and his trainer. Now, both of you guys have
how are you really not getting back in the league?
It's just stupidity on a whole nother level.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Champ is here.
What's going on, guys? Had two people just walk in. We're going to get them on the mic shortly. I wanted to pretty much talk to one thing before we speak to a couple of legends who just walked in. Mike, you're a legend too, man.
I appreciate that.
Kyrie Irving, on Martin Luther King Day, compared himself to Martin Luther King. He did.
In what way?
Well, Kyrie is a little upset that people are criticizing him because he criticizes teammates saying that they don't have enough talent to win a championship.
Okay.
And they need more help. Even with Kevin Durant coming back, he said they need more help. Pretty much threw all his teammates under the bus. You guys are not good enough. We need more people.
Uh-huh.
So he said they even criticized Martin Luther King. So I'm not surprised they're criticizing me. Said it's
on
Martin Luther King.
Come on, dude.
Kyrie Irving for you guys, Mr. World is Flat.
Now he's a flat earther. I didn't know he was a flat earther.
Yes, he is extremely serious about that. That the world is flat. And now because people are talking about him and they talked about Martin Luther King, he is also.
This is a dude who thought it was a good idea to disassociate from LeBron James.
Yeah. Then he wanted him back. Kyrie, yep. Man. Oh. That's Kyrie for you. But I think, as a Brooklyn Net, I don't know how I would have felt about that. I'm out here busting my tail, and my teammate is telling me I'm not good enough to win a championship.
I loved watching that video of LeBron just taking him to school last night.
Yeah, it was beautiful. Every single set.
Just embarrassed him at every step of the way.
I'm not a fan of Kyrie, man. And I just think, just like Boston, and luckily they had chemotherapy, Brooklyn has cancer, and it's Kyrie. He's a locker room cancer. Look at every single team he's been with. Even when he was with Cleveland, they sucked until LeBron got there.
But Kyrie got exactly what he wanted. He wanted to walk away from LeBron. He wanted to step out of that shadow. He wanted to be his own man, and he's blowing it.
Yeah, how's that going?
Blowing it.
It's not going too well at all. See if I can get one of these guys on. All right. So we are joined now, as I mentioned earlier, by two people from the South Carolina Football Hall of Fame. Oh, man, we're missing a mic. Didn't even know that.
Yeah, I'll give up mine. I'll let Michael Foster come and jump on my mic.
Come on, Mike. We're joined now by Mike Foster of the South Carolina Football Hall of Fame and also Clemson legend. And I can say a friend of mine. That feels really good. LaVon Kirkland, what's going on, guys?
Hey, what's up?
What's going on?
You're sure we're friends? We do, you know, now we do kind of talk Facebook a lot more.
Yeah, we do talk a lot more. Uh-huh. I'm going to claim that title. I'm going to say we're friends.
That's right.
That just
go
feels,
ahead, man.
Yeah, thanks, Mike.
Okay, man, come on in a circle of trust.
That's right. That's right.
That works for me. Mike, man, can you explain to all the listeners pretty much exactly what the South Carolina Football Hall of Fame is all about?
Oh, man. How much time we got?
Hey, we got until three.
Okay, sounds good. That sounds good. Well, hey, the South Carolina Football Hall of Fame is a local nonprofit here that is reaching out statewide to make an impact on the youth and community here. But we also honor the legends of South Carolina football. We use that as a platform to educate, encourage, and empower our youth to make a work-ready South Carolina. And It's a big passion of ours. We love South Carolina. We love the legends that come through this state, including the one here in this room, LaVon Kirkland. And we've been around for we're going on 8 years now. We're going to have an enshrinement ceremony on April 2nd, which is going to be a blast. We can talk about that later. We have a couple people in this room that have been there that can vouch for it. But we're excited about what's coming on and what we're doing here in South Carolina. And we hope to get the community, the business world involved in what we're doing, because I think we can make a huge impact.
Yeah, absolutely. And you guys are doing some tremendous work. And now, you know, my relationship with the company, I've been able to see it firsthand on what exactly you're doing. You can always see the bus. The bus is amazing. How did you guys come up with that concept to come up with the Hall of Fame bus?
Well, a few years ago, we were looking at figuring out ways in which we can communicate and meet a lot of the fans here in South Carolina. So we were like, well, let's put together something that we can go to games, interact with people at the fan experiences and stuff like that, like tailgates before games. And so one of our board members said, you know, hey, if you guys are interested, I'd be willing to donate a vehicle for you guys to be able to travel throughout the state. And so that's kind of how it began. And we went to a few Clemson games and some South Carolina games. And we've been to Coastal and Citadel and Furman and Wofford games and all over North Greenville even. And that was a lot of fun. We were able to interact with a lot of fan bases here in South Carolina and be able to tell them about our story, because not a lot of people know about the South Carolina Football Hall of Fame yet. And so that gives us an opportunity to get our word out.
Absolutely. And we got so much coming up with these guys, Mike and LaVon. We're going to get you in, LaVon, after the break. And, of course, Mike, I definitely want your expertise on Michigan grad Tom Brady.
Oh,
yeah, we're not going to talk about Michigan. We're going to leave that out. But we're definitely going to talk about Tom Brady and some other fun stuff coming up after the break.
And speaking of fun stuff, think how much fun stuff you could do with $1,000 cash.
A lot.
In your pocket. You get a chance to win $1,000 right now in the ESPN Upstate free cash stash contest. Your 2 p.m. word is blame. Text the word blame to 72881. You can win $1,000 cash from ESPN Upstate.